This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. A few weeks ago, NEC Display, which is now Sharp NEC Display Solutions, started marketing a new product called NEC Media Player. I saw the note and I thought at the time, oh, okay, I'll write about this. But then I didn't, because I couldn't make heads or tails of what it was all about. This podcast interview helped me clear the fog, and I suspect it will for others. Media Player is software designed to work with the Raspberry Pi hardware that NEC uses as an alternative to the system-on-chip offers from its display competitors. Media Player has two aspects. There's a simple signage, LAN or sneakernet platform that allows companies to do things like put production KPIs or other content up on a screen without investing in a full signage platform, because they probably don't need a full signage software platform. And there's a foundational CMS setup that is there for the 15 or so CMS software partners who do digital signage on Raspberry Pis. If an end user or integration partner uses NEC displays that support the Pi, they can select and install that software image right out of Media Player. People who've been around digital signage for many years will likely wonder, did NEC do VUCANET again? But no, this is not the rebirth of the circa 2009 CMS and ad platform that the company brought out. I spoke with Chris Feldman, the product manager for NEC Media Player. Chris, thank you for joining me. I wanted to talk to you and NEC because I saw some PR about NEC Media Player and I read it and then I read it again and I thought, I'm not quite getting what this is. So it would be lovely if we could kind of walk through what NEC Media Player is all about.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. You're not the first. I think the confusion is that the Media Player, to kind of explain it simply, exists in two parts, right? And so it's obviously tied to the system on a chip or SoC space in digital signage. And so, you know, a number of years ago, we released our displays that use the Raspberry Pi Compute Module 3 as an open source platform for SoC, allowing a lot of users to utilize that and the whole open architecture behind it for signage. But one of the things that we found, you know, as we're getting feedback from the market was that, it's great and all that we have this open architecture, but people really need an out of the box experience with it, right? So they need something as you open it up and turn it on, it's got to do something other than just give you like a desktop operating system screen.
Right. Cause not everybody's a nerd and wants to develop to it that way.
Exactly. Right. And, I think initially our thinking was, you know, there's so many tools out there that, you know, people are just going to kind of rush to it and be like, yeah, this is great, which is what they're still doing. But the fact of the matter is they needed an out of the box experience. And so that brings us to the first part, which is the NEC Media Player. And so what we've done is we've kind of looked at, the Media Player experience overall and how it can fit within the NEC display, ecosystem, so to speak. So that's what we developed. And so we worked together and we developed this media player that we deliver onto the display. It comes preloaded. So it's the standard image now on all the Raspberry Pis that we sell. And we've also upgraded from the Compute Module 3 to the Compute Module 3 Plus. So you're getting a bit of a bump up in CPU performance, but also the hard drive or the eMMC on the internal memory on the device itself is bumping up from 16 gigs to 32 gigs. So you're getting a little faster CPU speed and you're getting twice the amount of memory in there. And then the Media Player itself is really giving users the ability to really kind of get up and running with signage very, very quickly. So we looked at things like, you know, playback. So, you know, it was important not to have gaps. So people want to have, you know, whatever, you know, images they have up there or videos or combination thereof. And they want them to play, you know, slide to slide to slide without any kind of black space or dead space in between. Mm-hmm. And so the Media Player does that and addresses that issue that was on the Pi. And so what we're able to do is we have that going. You can connect to it locally. So you can walk up to it with a USB drive, plug it in. You can use the wireless remote that comes with a display to actually load content onto the internal drive of the Raspberry Pi. You can use a wired keyboard as well. But one of the cooler things is you actually have the ability to control it over a network. So if you have a closed network like a LAN set up where you have all your screens running the media player, you can actually talk to all of them and can control them. And so you can set up playlists, you can set up schedules, you can set up everything that you're doing, you know, with regards to content over a network. So, you know, that's a really powerful tool that we have there. We've added some things like streaming services, so you can actually stream content to it. You can have URLs that are accessible because it does also support touch. So if you have, say, you have a lobby space in your corporate office and you want to have a way to tie into content you already have without having to spend more money just to have this new digital sign that you have, you can just utilize your web page. And then the cooler part about it is it actually utilizes the display itself. That's one of the great things about using the internal Raspberry Pi as opposed to an external Pi. So one of the things we have is a real-time clock and a watchdog timer that kind of maintain that Pi running inside the display. But we can also tie into the human sensor that we have either externally with our KTRC kit or the one that's built into our VNP series displays that we offer. So you could have essentially a slideshow running, and then when it sees someone walk in front of it, it could switch over to that website or switch over to that HTML file that you're looking at if you're doing wayfinding, that type of thing. And then if you touch the screen, you can actually interact with it, which is a really powerful tool to offer customers just through a standard media player that's included with the Raspberry Pi. And so the second half, which is where a lot of people kind of get confused, is, you know, again, looking at signage and what people wanted to do, these media players are great. And, you know, what we designed was not designed to be a end-all be-all of media players. You know, it's a great little device, offers a lot of functionality. But the reality is once people really start to see the value of digital signage in their place, whether it's a retail establishment, quick source restaurant, corporate office, hospital, wherever it is, and they start to see that potential, they'll want to do more things. And so to do that, you really need to have a true CMS running on that device. And so we looked at that, and we looked at some of the negative feedback that we received on imaging the Raspberry Pis on our displays. And what we did is we created this CMS platform within the media player. So when you have the media player running, on the top is a series of tabs that essentially denote what you're doing. You simply just arrow over to the CMS tab. And then on there, currently, we have about 8 or 9 partners, and this list is growing. You can then move down and select a partner, and you get a description of what that partner does, and then the option to install that software. So you can actually go to a company, or I should say a partner like Screenly or Yodek, select their software. And if you're already using it, so let's say you have a Screenly account, you have that up and running on regular media players throughout your facility. Now you want to add these displays with SOC to expand your digital signage. You can click install. It'll install the Screenly software, and then it'll run as a Screenly player on your network, and you'll manage it just like every other device you have working. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where people are getting lost. So it's like a two-part construction to what we have.
Right. So it sounds like in your first part of the description, it's many to most of the components that you would need and commonly find in a digital signage CMS software platform, particularly on the management side, but it's not marketed or presented as a CMS. And if you have customers who want to go down the whole path of using a commercial CMS, you have options to do that. So am I right in thinking the first part of what you're describing is meant for companies that, let's say, already have a software development team of some kind, and they're looking for a signage platform that has foundational software and API so that they can develop their thing on top of it without using a commercial CMS. Would that be accurate?
Mostly. First of all, it's designed around a LAN, right? So, you know, you're not going to have, say, like a quick service restaurant that you're managing, you know, several hundred, several thousand stores, right?
Okay.
Because You know, it's designed to be a closed loop, so to speak. So if you have, say, a building, right? So we'll, you know, we'll pick a large company out there like Motorola, right? So if you have, you know, several campuses together, you know, you say the local one out here in Schaumburg, you know, you would have these displays on the wall and the administrator can access them and load content to it. But if you wanted to go to, you know, where they are, where they're at downtown, you would need a separate set of media players running, right? So they're not really designed to be, it's not cloud-based. It's not really interconnectable, so to speak. Right. They all have to be on within the same network. And then they'll run existing content that you have. So it's kind of for the user that needs more simple signage, right? Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily looking to invest in the expense of a CMS software. And then, you know, it still gets you into that realm, right? It still gets you into digital signage.
Right.
There is a scheduler. But, you know, you don't have, like, the minutia control that you would over through a CMS. Like, if you use, say, Rise Vision, for example.
Right.
You know, those guys, you know, have a lot of control over what they're doing. You know, and we're not really trying to do that. What we're trying to do is kind of get you in the ground floor, so to speak, provide you a media player with enough robust functionality that it's actually useful. But at the same time, we want to be able to encourage you to work with any one of our partners.
Right. So let's say a manufacturer who wants to visualize some KPIs from the production floor and just do it in that one facility over the LAN on a few displays, they could do this to find the URL for that particular visualization that's coming out of, I don't know, Power BI or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Throw that on there and you've kind of got what you need.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second tier of this is when you have partners who are like a Screenly and a Yodak who already developed to Raspberry Pi, they could be part of this well-defined ecosystem, and your customers can look at the different options and go, okay, well, these guys are more oriented to what I want to do and I'll use them.
Yeah, that's a pretty good handle on it.
Okay. When I first read this PR, I was thinking, oh, they're not doing VukuNet again, are they?
You know, the first one to mention that. But no, this is not VukuNet.
And for those who don't understand what the hell I'm going on about 10, 11 years ago, NEC came out with a free CMS platform and a kind of a companion advertising platform called VukuNet and AdVuku. And I think the most accurate thing to say is it was a little early in the development of the ecosystem for that to really catch on.
Yeah. And, you know, ironically, I was actually involved with that as well. Maybe that's why I was chosen for this one. but, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, right? And, you know, you have to play to each other's strengths. And, you know, one of the things about the digital signage world is, you know, it takes a village, right? I mean, these systems and these projects can get rather large and cumbersome. You know, it's no longer just somebody, oh, I want to throw a PowerPoint on the screen or a PDF slide for my menu board. You know, the amount of, you know, functionality that people need and some of the more complicated logistics, you know, really needs to take multiple partners to successfully launch one of these, even a modestly sized one, to the market. And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to simplify that. We're trying to bring in as many people as we can together so that it's easier for people to basically bring that to market.
Right. So if I, to use the example, if I decided I wanted to use Screenly as my CMS to working with NEC Media Player, mm-hmm. would the software components that you were describing earlier, I assume that there are similar components that Screenly has written and everything else. So how do you work around them not to kind of clashing with each other? Does a lot of the NEC Media Player functionality just shut off?
Yeah, literally that's what happens. So when you select that partner, it becomes that partner's player or that partner's endpoint or however you want to refer to it. So there's going to be no confusion. There's going to be no clash. Because that was honestly one of the original concerns when we were specifying what we were trying to do here. We didn't want to create something that was going to create problems for us later. So, you know, the idea is we want to work with these partners as well as we can and deliver an experience that we can, you know, have that QC control to the end user.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Are there device management, things like what you're describing with the watchdog timer and things like that, that a developer like a Screenly or Yodek or whoever can tap into if they don't have that themselves? Or like, are there kind of elective components that you can use?
Yeah, so, you know, we work with a company called SendageOS, and they're helping us with this whole partner onboarding.
Yeah.
And one of the things they do is they tie into that. So if they require things like CEC control, so you can utilize a remote to control it, or if they tie into the touch capability, you know, they're handling that vetting portion. And in addition to that, we also have, you know, what I like to refer to is one of the best kept secrets in AV, which is our Neviset administrator tool. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
At all. Okay. So again, it's one of our best kept secrets. So Neviset administrator.
How's that working out?
Neviset administrator is a tool that's been around with NEC for, you know, well, I've been with NEC about 12 years now. And it's been around as long as I can remember. And it is a networkable management for all your displays from desktop monitors up through projection, right? And as long as they're all connected, you know, via a network, you can do all kinds of, you know, really great things. You can monitor them. They can set it up where you can, you know, if somebody were to change an input, for example, you know, that's, you know, blows my mind every time, you know, every time you have a large screen somewhere, someone inevitably wants to look at it and say, hey, can I get the game on there? And then they try to press the buttons. And if you didn't lock them out, all of a sudden you turned off whatever your digital signage application is and the screen's blank. Yeah. And so if you have a large building, it would be nice if the screen could tell you that because the screen already knows. And that's what Neviset can do. You can set up a series of, you know, tasks that it can do. You can set up a time task where, you know, if you're a school system and you want to shut off all your projectors at night to save the bulbs, you have the ability to do that. You can say, okay, 5 o'clock, turn everything off. And it'll do that. And everything connected to it will do that, whether it's a screen, projector, desktop monitor, what have you. And that is available for download on our website. And the standard edition is actually free of charge. And it's one of the reasons why it's a best kept secret. So it's something free to use. And it's an incredibly powerful tool that you can utilize either within your own facility, or if you are a reseller or an AV integrator, this is something that you could also leverage as a service with your customers. So you could say, hey, look, Mr. Customer, I can set this up. I can put all these screens on the network. And obviously, you know, you would charge a fee for that. And that's what it's there for. And so that can be also tied into, there's APIs available. And so that our Raspberry Pi, which talks to our display, could then also connect to Neviset Administrator.
What's been the adoption rate for Raspberry Pi? I mean, smart displays have been around since 2012, 2013. The early ones weren't very good, but they've got better. And I would say the whole idea of system-on-chip displays is fairly mainstream now. You know, there's a lot of them out there. You guys being NEC are, to my knowledge, the only company that's kind of gone down a different path with these slot-loaded Raspberry Pis. How has that gone, and where are you with it? Is it right across your product lineup or just on like a subset?
So we have a very wide breadth of screens that we actually utilize it on. Screen sizes, everything from our 40-inch, whether it's a V or P series, all the way up to our 98-inch screens. And that also includes our ultra-narrow displays, so the video wall displays as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have all these different screen lines that you can utilize within your network. and tie into the software that you're using. Like one particular example is called InfoBeamer. It's a great little tool. And they have this really awesome application that you can do video walls with the Raspberry Pi by literally taking a photo with your phone, right? So you take the software, you load it onto a screen, you take a picture of what the screens look like, and each screen will have a QR code on there. You load that onto the website, and it'll automatically scale the content regardless of rotation onto the wall, which is an incredibly powerful tool that they can do with our screens.
And why Raspberry Pi versus just putting in like an ARM processor and doing what most of the other guys are doing?
Twofold. First, we've had a modular philosophy around everything that we do for computing for a long time, right? You know, we've had OPS forever. And then before that, we had the SBC slot, right? The little single board computer slot. Mm-hmm. And that's worked out really well for us. You know, we've had a lot of really great success, and we've got a lot of really great feedback on it. And so we wanted to move into this SoC. What we didn't want to do is we didn't want to move away from that. We wanted to give customers that option. And in addition, we also didn't want to necessarily build in the cost of the SoC into a screen that they're buying if they are not using it. So if they want to use a PC, they're not using an SoC, you know, why pay for it? Or if they're using something external, you know, why pay for it? So that's like the first part. And the second part is really the whole developer community around the Raspberry Pi. Because it's one thing to have an open architecture, right? Because if you look at our competitors, you know, everyone, they're all open. There's APIs that are out there. But, you know, right now with the Raspberry Pi, you know, you have kids sending these things to the moon, right? You have all kinds of really amazing things that people are, you know, building with the Pi. I saw one application, I think it was a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, where somebody took a Raspberry Pi and connected the accelerometer that you have for a cell phone to it. And then when you rotated the display, the content would rotate with the display. It was a really amazing thing that they were doing with that small SoC. And so that's what we're really trying to leverage with the Raspberry Pi inner displays, is that not just the level of creativity that it affords the user, but just the global community built around it. People are really doing amazing things with it, because, you know, you get stuck in something and you could literally go off the web, you know, post on a message board, and somebody may have already run into that problem. And so that's what we wanted to do. That's what we wanted to leverage.
The interest in the Raspberry Pi when it first came out, and probably still, is that it's a $35 to $45 micro PC. And therefore, I can save some money there. They often don't seem to understand that there are other things that you have to buy with it to get it all to work, and it doesn't end up being $45. So it, you know, it costs more than that, and it is a micro PC. It's positioned as something for makers and hobbyists and so on, although there's millions out there. And as you say, there's a huge development community. Why would you go down that path instead of like the Intel smart smart display modules or compute modules?
Well, the smart display modules we actually are implementing as well. So the next generation displays will have the SDMs available as a slot. And then the compute module will actually install underneath it. So if you look at the way that the screen is actually built, it's in two halves, right? You have SDMS and you have SDML, right? And SDML takes the whole thing and S takes just like a third of it, right? Mm-hmm. The unused portion is what the Raspberry Pi will connect to, right? So we're not going to connect to the SDM slot. I want to be specific about that. We're not connecting to that portion of the display. Mm-hmm. It's connecting to its own proprietary connector on the other side. But you have that ability. So you could do things like run the Raspberry Pi and potentially, you know, another accessory that you have in that slot that's running off of it.
Right. So you could use the Pi for media playout, but you could use like an Intel i5 for computer vision, like your NECL application or something like that.
Right. Right. And again, you know, the idea behind adopting the Pi was really built around the, you know, that community that's really been, you know, that exists with the Raspberry Pi. You know, it's one thing just to create a small, you know, system on chip type PC, you know, a little chip you drop in with some memory and a CPU. It's another thing to drop something in there that has, you know, some momentum behind it already, you know, people already developing behind it. And so, you know, as we were later to the market than everyone else, you know, we wanted to leverage that. We wanted to have something that already had a development base behind it when we hit the market. You know, I think when we launched, I think there was, you know, probably, you know, a dozen companies that we had on our website that already had CMS software that was running on Raspberry Pi. And we linked to them right on the bottom. So people get up and running very quickly.
And you mentioned there's about 8 or 9 on there now that you have in your dropdown.
So the 8 or 9 are actually the partners part of the overall CMS platform that's on the Raspberry Pi. So if you look on the Pi itself, those are the 8 or 9 I talked about. Those are the ones that are actually on the Pi. But if you go to our website, we actually have a media player link on our website, and it's actually connected to any one of our large format displays that have a Raspberry Pi slot. There's literally a link that you can click to say, hey, check out a new media player. You click that link, and it'll take you to our media player site, go into all of the detail that I'm kind of going into today, and then it'll at the very bottom, there'll be a list of all the existing partners today that are on that Pi. And then there's another button you can click, which will show you everybody that we know of that's working on the Pi. It's more than 8, right? So we probably have, I'm going to have to draw a blank here, but probably about 15 partners total.
Okay. Is there any particular market or attribute about the kind of end users who are gravitating towards this technology solution versus, I don't know, I mean, I see a lot of smart displays being used for QSR because it, you know, it streamlines the install and things like that. Or is there a representative kind of user who would go down your path?
That's really kind of the great thing about the SoC market as it is right now. You know, with a lot of CMS companies are, you know, rendering using HTML5 or through a standard browser, or, you know, streaming something, you know, from a source. You can move away from like a standard type PC to something like an SoC and save a fair bit of money. You know, costs on screens have come down considerably. You know, to buy even a modest, you know, small form factor PC, like an Intel NUC, you know, oftentimes costs more than the display, right? So now if you have this SoC that can then run that other, the content that's essentially being handled by a head end and it's acting as an endpoint, you can do a lot of really amazing things with it. And so, you know, I don't think it's necessarily going to appeal to a specific vertical. It's really going to appeal to those, or it's really going to appeal to those that are looking to get into the signage market, but have always been a little sticker shock by it, right? Because there's an economy of scale that we're dealing with, because, you know, there's a screen, there's software, there's PCs, there's cables, there's all these parts that kind of go into it. And then you have to multiply it by the number of locations that you want to have it in there. You know, it's not just one screen from menu board. You know, the average menu board size is 3. So you take 3 times the number of stores, and very quickly that number gets very large. So when we can do something like this and be able to deliver that computing solution to the customer, that lowers that cost of ownership. And those that may have been kind of wavering or not necessarily, you know, very motivated to adopt this, now it becomes much more inviting for them to do so.
Right. I have a feeling that you can't tell me who, but I'll ask anyways, and you can just kind of say generically if necessary. Do you have some good reference cases on large-scale deployments of viewer displays with the Pi inside?
So we just released the media player and the Compute Module 3 Plus on our displays. We are just starting to deliver those now. So there is one case that will be listed soon. So you build a reference site on our website. And then those will start to develop as that goes out.
Is that retail or?
It was in the QSR space.
QSR? And yeah. Like hundreds, thousands, millions?
When it's released, we'll be able to tell you. I don't want to quote above my pay grade.
Yeah, oh, I know. And it's just a burden of anybody who is trying to market in this industry that the bigger the client, the harder it is to get permission to say anything about the job.
Right.
So what will we see going forward with the media player? I know you mentioned OPS for the displays. That's, I guess, a little different. But how do you see this evolving over the next year?
Well, you know, like I tried to mention that earlier. So, you know, when I first started with NEC, if you looked at the kind of PCs that were being purchased, you're looking at a very low, like Atom-based type PC, moving up to, you know, a higher end type of like tower PC with a video card. It was a standard bell curve, right? So the Core 2 Duo was the workhorse, and the vast majority of screens that you saw out there was running something similar to like an Aopen Core 2 Duo. You know, they were everywhere from airports to, you know, name a vertical, right? Mm-hmm. But as, you know, signage has continued to evolve and software design has gotten better, that standard bell curve is inverting. So that middle of the road PC is not really seeing that much traction. The higher end PCs that are going to give you much more power and much more dynamic content, because they're getting so much smaller, like the new i5 SDM that we have coming out, you know, that performs significantly better than the previous generation i7. Mm-hmm. So you're getting all this power in this one device that you can do, you know, real-time 3D renders for wayfinding. So instead of just having like a flat space looking map for your lobby, you know, wayfinding, now you could have an interactive 3D model that literally shows the walkthrough to go to where your location is at, right? Those types of things. And then on the lower end of things, you know, you can get your FIDS information out, your menu board information out, your HD, you know, slideshows or video content with audio, all that running on an SoC. And so, you know, the market is kind of changing in the way where the low end and the high end are kind of becoming the dominant competing solutions. So that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see a lot more screens with built-in computing kind of, you know, leading the charge. But then I think also extensions. So being able to get, you know, video at higher levels. So you're talking 4K, 8K. From a tower PC with a high-end video card, you're talking a lot of RAM, doing really dynamic stuff out to displays as well. So that's kind of where signage seems to be going.
All right. That was great. Thank you, Chris, for spending some time with me.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.